In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. The Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and you shall have gladness of heart. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock. Amen. Lord be with you. Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of thine only begotten Son, so that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. We pray this through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who livest and reignest with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. This morning's confessional reading, continuing from Luther's large catechism, the close of the commandments. As stated earlier, included in the words of this appendix is both a wreath of wrath, a threat of wrath and terrify to warn, and a friendly promise to attach us, to attract us, and to beckon us to take in a prize of God's words, of command as divine, as being divine seriousness. For he himself here declares how intensely he is concerned about these commandments, and how strictly he will watch for our observance of them. He points out fearfully and trembly he will punish all who scorn and violate them, and again how richly he will reward, bless, and grant all manner of good things to those who value them highly and gladly live and act according to them. Thus he requires that all our actions should proceed from a heart that reverently fears God and looks to him alone, and because of such reverent fear avoids everything that is against his will, lest he be angered. Conversely, he demands a heart and trust only in him, and for the love of him does what what he wants because he proves himself to be such a kind of father and offers us his every grace and blessing. Precisely this is also the sense and the right interpretation of the first and chief commandment, the fountainhead of all the other commandments. Thus is the word, "You are to have no other gods except me," intends to express very simply the same thing that is here demanded in the appendix, "You shall fear, love, and trust me as your one true God." For he who has such an attitude of heart toward God has fulfilled this and all other commandments. On the other hand, the person who fears and loves anything else in heaven or on earth will keep neither this nor any other commandment. Scripture has preached and urged this commandment everywhere, focusing everything on the two elements, the fear of God and the trust in God. The prophet David particularly does this throughout the Psalter, and when he says in the Psalms, Psalm 147, verse 11, the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who wait without hope for his mercy. It is as if the whole commandment were unfolded in a single passage, as much as to say the Lord takes pleasure in those who have no other gods. So far, the confessional meeting. This morning's Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to this temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them with as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against false swearers, against those that oppress the hireling of his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. So far, the Old Testament. This morning's epistle, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. So far the epistle lesson. And please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 1. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoiceth in God my Savior, For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of his hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and then returned to her own house. So far the Holy Gospel. We now confess our faith according to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We continue with our sermon hymn 70. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace from our triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. My sermon is based upon this morning's gospel, so please be seated. You know, for many people, Jesus Christ does not look like a king, much less the Son of God. A king ought to be kingly. He ought to act like royalty, not as a commoner or a peasant. You see, people expect kings to live up to their expectation. This is what troubles some people about Jesus Christ. Because the Bible claims that he is not only holds a kingship, but divinity as well. Jesus most certainly does not look like the Son of God. But he really is the Son of God. And with the Christian church of all ages, we confess that this baby in Mary's womb is in fact the Son of God, God in human flesh. And while the church sings its praises, the world shouts its criticisms and doubts, but all it is really unbelief. And at this time of the year especially, we must remember that the Christmas message is not an appeal to human reason, for human reason would find it totally unreasonable, would find it foolish. But thank God that the Christmas story is not an appeal to human reason. It's an appeal to the love of God. It's an appeal to believe that God has kept his promises to the world. It's an appeal to accept the miracle of ages, that the divinity has put on humanity, and that the Son of God is incarnate as the Son of Man. This is what Elizabeth was confessing in this morning's gospel. And this is the reason why the baby that Elizabeth was to bear jumped for joy within her womb when Mary entered that room. How simple the evangelist records this wonderful event described in this morning's gospel. And how marvelous that God's word produced that trusting faith in both of those ladies. But how tragic it is that the majority of the world's population will not accept this Jesus as the Son of God. What Elizabeth and her unborn baby recognized, the world will not. You see, men and women down through the ages, they've stubbornly refused to believe what God's word records, namely, that Jesus Christ is the Lord of heaven and earth, that he is indeed the very Son of God himself, God in human flesh. It isn't really logic or education that's the problem. It's unbelief. Natural man refuses to believe the clear word of God as Mary and Elizabeth did. The child cradled in the belly of Mary is the Almighty God, the Almighty One, the God of heaven and earth. Because they believed God's promises, Mary and Elizabeth had no trouble believing that with God nothing shall be impossible. Because they believed God's promises, Mary and Elizabeth had no trouble believing that God cannot do anything that he desires to do so. And what further offends so many people is that Jesus is also called a Savior. Because people are not interested in a Savior. As long as one feels that they have a chance to measure up to God by their own effort, if they are even interested in doing so, they will reject the Christ of God. They have no need for a Savior. You see, the real joy of Christmas is the same joy that Mary and Elizabeth had knowing and believing that this Jesus is our Savior who delivers us from the consequences of our sins. He is the God-man who took our place under the law of God and fulfilled it because we couldn't. He became man so that he could submit to the restrictions of God's law. He innocently suffered at the hands of sinful men. He was crucified and he died. He suffered this great humiliation and disgrace because he was sent to be our Savior of the entire human race. And because the Father in heaven loved us so much, he sent his only Son into this world to become one of us, so that he might save us for heaven. Only the Son of God could keep God's law perfectly, and so be able to save us, and that is exactly what Jesus Christ did. And that is why we rejoice at Christmas time. We believe that this baby, Jesus, is the Son of God who became man, that he is the Christ, the Messiah of God, and the Savior of the entire world. Therefore, to have a true Christmas joy, we must have more than tinsel and ornaments on our trees. We must have more than a spirit of giving and receiving. We must have this child, the Son of God and the Savior of the world, in our hearts for it to really be a Christmas. When Elizabeth confessed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb," she was thanking God for having kept his promises. Here in Mary's womb was the promise of the ages, the Savior. Here was the child promised through the prophets for centuries. All the promises of God given through the prophets, they were now being fulfilled before the eyes of Mary and Elizabeth. And what a joy there should be in our hearts as well. All the promises of God's saving grace are completed in him. The Savior has come. Here is Emmanuel, God with us, to change the darkness of sin into the brilliance of day. And we rejoice because God kept his promises to Israel, and he still keeps his promises by coming to us today through word and sacrament. He is still our Emmanuel. He is still God with us. And that is why we can sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." In Christ Jesus, God has kept his promise to rescue us and to redeem us. We rejoice that God has kept his promise of grace and blessing, and that he forgives all of our sins for Christ's sake, and that he gives us a new life through baptism, and that he continues to strengthen and build our faith through the Lord's Supper. We rejoice in these promises, which have now been kept. But we rejoice that God will keep even greater promises to us in the world to come, when he gives us the crown of eternal life, everlasting joy, and we will reign with him forever. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us here this morning and extend itself in the joys of eternal life, heaven. Amen. Since our offering has been received, let's sing the first two stanzas of "We Give Thee But Thine Own."
We give thee but thine own.
Let us pray for our communicants. Lord Jesus Christ, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden to refresh them and give rest unto their souls, we pray. Let us this morning experience your love of the heavenly feast, which you have prepared for us here on earth. Keep us all from impenitence and unbelief, so that no one will partake of this holy sacrament to their damnation. Take off from us the spotted garment of our sinful flesh, our self-righteousness, and give us the garment that has been purchased with your holy precious blood. Strengthen our faith, increase our love and hope, and after this life, grant us all a place at your heavenly table, where we shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
We continue with hymn 307. Please be seated. Rise for the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, who with thine only begotten Son and the Holy Ghost are one God and one Lord. And in the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and of the unity and substance of majesty coequal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped and when he had given thanks, he gave to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is a new testament in my blood which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for our sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ, the very blood that was shed for our sins on Calvary's cross. Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith and the life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was given into death for our sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ, the very blood that was shed for our sins on Calvary's cross. Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith and the life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given at the death of our sins. Take a drink. This is the true blood of Christ, the very blood that was shed for our sins on Calvary's cross. Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ, the very blood that was shed for our sins on Calvary's cross. Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was given into death for our sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ, the very blood that was shed for our sins on Calvary's cross. May this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith and life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen. take and eat. This is the true body of our Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of our sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ, the very blood that was shed for our sins on Calvary's cross. Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith, unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Sins on Calvary's cross. Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith, unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen. Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for our sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ, the very blood that was shed for our sins on Calvary's cross. Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith, and a life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen. Depart in His peace. Amen. Thank you.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to the Almighty God that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy, that you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless with the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen. Everyone.